All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad y'all are here this evening. Welcome those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now say,
oh,
by, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Anybody got a pick of him? Or two? 42? 42? Let's see what's on 42. I don't know. We'll see if I know how to sing it. Crown him Lord of all. There's no notes. It's just lyrics. I would have to know the tune. All right, let's see. 16 here. All hail the power of Jesus' name. That's a really good one. I don't think we've sang this one in a while.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. That was different lyrics, but I winged it. It had enough of the word. I don't know what the real page number is on that one. Any others? $5.98. Okay, we can do the first and last. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen.
Right. Well, good evening to all. To all, good evening. Amen. Amen. Doing some research. We had another, I guess it's a mass shooting. It's got to be 4 people dead to be considered a mass shooting. So they had another mass shooting, I mean, just before we started at Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a medical hospital complex. So 3 confirmed dead. The shooter is dead and several more injured. So we'll be in prayer for that tonight. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those victims up there. Continue to pray for Uvalde. Amen? Amen. Got that on the list. Do we have any praises? Testimonies? Amen. We made it through the holiday. I heard today on the news, I can't remember what news it was, radio or TV. Kind of hard to, they all kind of run together. But it said the 100 days between Memorial Day and Labor Day is the most dangerous time for teenage drivers. So I want to be in prayer for our teenage drivers that they make wise decisions.
Amen.
I'm telling you. It makes sense. Summertime makes sense. So teenagers, pray for them teenagers. What else? Teenagers driving. Any praises or testimonies? Anybody? Ron, you got anything?
I do, but I just can't think
of it. All right, Brother Ron. Praise God for everything. Amen. Amen. Anybody got any specific testimonies or encouraging words they want to give? All right, Penny's got one.
Yeah. That's loud. So Sunday after church, we got my trailer moved. Bobby helped me move my trailer and everything. And so we get over there, and half of my trailer's not working.
Uh-oh.
So I had no air conditioning, no nothing. And they kept trying to tell me that it was my trailer, not the post. And we checked everything. Poor Bobby, he was sweating like crazy. We got everything checked in the trailer, and half of the breakers would not work. They sent somebody out yesterday, finally. They found the problem. There was a burnt wire inside the post where you plug into.
Well, it wasn't your trailer after all, was it? No. Amen. Good for you, girl. Yeah,
air
amen.
Conditioning.
So where did you move? You just moved in the same place to a different spot?
No, I moved from Pinewood Trails RV Park to Leisure Lane.
Oh, okay.
Because I have family there.
Okay, cool. Is that a further drive for you?
Not necessarily.
Not really? Okay. Amen. All right, very good. Amen. Penny got a successful trailer move. Way to go. All right. Anything else? Those of you with us online, good to have you with us tonight. Amen. Have our online folks with us. Prayer requests. I've shared a few with you. What else we got?
I got one from Sharon Heiberger online.
Okay.
Pray for Kenzie and family. They are all feeling sick with COVID symptoms. Also, instance is in effect, and she can see spine doctor on Friday if no COVID.
Oh, okay. All right, Kenzie and family. All right. Sick. Have they tested positive for COVID? Don't know.
Well, she didn't say.
Sick with COVID. All right. Insurance. All right. Hopefully see doctor on Friday. Yeah. Yeah, I figured that out. Yeah, amen. I've got it up here too. Doctor on Friday.
Yeah, she said insurance and then she said not yet.
Not yet. All right. But insurance is coming. Amen. All right, all right. What else, what else? Jeremiah, I don't think we have that much of a delay anymore. I was watching the live stream as you were leading in it. The delay might be 10 seconds.
Ooh, that's good.
10 or 12. It's not. It used to be like 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really quick. All right, what else? Any other prayer requests?
That's the internet
upgrade. I guess so, man. More bandwidth. We must be gagillionaires. You seen that commercial? Seen that commercial? We're gagillionaires up in here. Amen. We got so much bandwidth. Amen. What else? What else? Yeah, Miss Vicky. Vicky, upper respiratory. Respiratory, and then Bob's kid. All right, all right. What else?
Oh, I got one,
brother. Yeah, man.
I want to lift up Robert Hester. You know, the one that's in the...
Yes.
Yes, sir. He's still...
He's still doing...
He wants to come home.
Yeah.
He's going to fight to the end, I guess.
He's going to fight until the Lord calls him home.
Yeah, but, they just can't handle him. He's doing okay. His mind's, he's got what they call front-load Alzheimer's. I don't know what that really is, but it's not the same thing.
It affects your reasoning and your impulse control. That's why he's very impetuous.
He eats, he's just stuff. They stuff stuff in their face, and just choke on it.
Throw it up.
Yeah. And I have one more. My mother-in-law's coming home. Dottie's her name. She's coming home from the hospital, and she had a stroke. Okay. So they got to figure out how they're going to do all that. So a little pressure on them,
Right.
How to get her to the bathroom and stuff like that.
Okay.
And our unspoken.
Yeah, unspoken. Right?
Yes, sir.
Shut-ins.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Anything else? Continue to pray for Ukraine, Uvalde.
Yeah, right.
All these things begin with a U.
Amen.
Ukraine, Uvalde. What else? Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen? All right, our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather in your name, sing praises to your name, Lord. We praise you and thank you for this air conditioning tonight. Thank you for cool air in this place. And, Lord, it's so hot and oppressive out there with the humidity. It just affords us an opportunity to be dry and cool. And we just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. It's not all sweaty in here and hard to pay attention. We just praise you and thank you for the cool air. Lord, we praise you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for that salvation. Lord, we are thankful that you helped Penny in that moving of her trailer. And Bobby was able to help, Lord. We praise you and thank you that nothing was wrong with her trailer, but it was the post she was hooking up to. So we thank you and praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, hook up till they fixed it, didn't mess our trailer up at all electrically, so we give you praise for that as well. Lord, we do pray for the folks in Uvalde, these surviving family members in this town and community. God, we pray you comfort them and help them, and Lord, as they are all wound up over the police response and the school district police chief, Lord, we just pray that you work all that out and let's help those people move forward and not hold grudges. And, Lord, we just pray that the gun thing, Lord, you just give our legislatures, you give them wisdom and discernment on what to do about these issues, mental health, school safety, guns, all of it. Lord, we just pray for them. Pray you lead, guide, and direct them. Lord, we do pray for this mass shooting in Tulsa. With 4 dead and many injured, Lord, we pray that you begin to comfort those folks that have lost loved ones and help them, and those that didn't get shot, were wounded, but experienced the trauma of it, we pray that you comfort them and help them. And Lord, the shooter, his family, Lord, help them come to grips with what he's done. And Father God, we just pray your grace and your mercy upon that situation. Seems like now every week we're hearing of a mass shooting. And Lord, we just pray that you would intervene. And Lord, you would help cooler heads prevail. And Lord, as inflation goes up and gas prices go up and people sense helplessness, we pray that you would place Christian folk, encouragers around them, to help them see that God has a plan for them. God has a life other than what they're living for them. And they too can be saved and experience peace, real inner peace. So Father God, I pray you'd raise up the Christians. You know those that are struggling mentally and emotionally and that are on the verge of doing something that we have seen on the news these last several weeks. And so, Lord, we're just praying your sovereign hand would put the right people next to the people that need the help the most. And Lord, some of these things might be totally averted by your witnessing saints, your gospel seed spreading Christians. Father God, may they sow the seed in love, and may they sow it to the down and out, those that are struggling so desperately. We pray for them, those that are struggling emotionally, those that are struggling with their mind, with hopelessness. I feel like everything's against them, Lord. We just pray you help them. Lord, we lift up Kinsey to you tonight. We pray that her and her family would not have the COVID. We pray that, Lord, this insurance gets to come online here soon, and we're just looking forward to Kinsey being able to go to the doctor this coming Friday. Barring that she does not have COVID, Lord, we pray she doesn't. And, Lord, we just pray you give her peace, bring healing to her back, give her relief from that pain, and, Lord, see Kinsey through. We lift up Miss Vicky to you tonight. We pray for her upper respiratory infection. We pray that that not turn into anything worse like pneumonia or bronchitis. We just pray you might touch her body tonight. We lift up Bobby's kids to you, Lord. We all know that situation. We're just praying for reconciliation, praying that you would just work all of that out between them. Lord, we lift up Robert Hester to you tonight. We pray for that nursing home that's trying to house him and take care of him. We pray for those workers, and we pray for those orderlies and those nurse assistants, Lord. We just pray that you give them great patience and give them a love for Robert, even as unlovely as he sometimes acts, Lord. We pray that he not be harmed physically. And, Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, that you might calm his mind and help him understand and comprehend that's where he's to be living. We lift up Dottie to you, Lord, as she gets ready to come home from a stroke. And, Lord, we pray for all the logistics of her recovering there at the house. Just be with that family, Lord. Lead, guide them, direct them. We pray that they'd be able to take great care of Dottie as she recovers from this stroke. We lift up the unspokens to you tonight, Lord. We pray that you hear us as we silently lift those things up to you. And God, Father God, thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for your care and your love. Thank you for your grace towards us when we think about these unspokens. Lord, we lift up our shut-ins. We pray that as they continue to worship with us online, that they're able to do that. That they continue to get fed by that, Lord, and are encouraged by what they experience through the online services. Thank you for them and their participation. Keep them encouraged. And then, Lord, we close it out praying for Ukraine. We pray for that eastern part of Ukraine, and, Lord, Russia's really digging in. And, Lord, we just pray that you would help the Ukrainian people, drive them out, God. Just help them drive them out and get the Russians back on their side of the border. But, Lord, we pray that innocent children and bystanders and civilians would not be harmed in all of this, Lord. We pray it would be a military action, and that you would be with those Ukrainian people as they fight for their democracy and for their homeland. Be with them, God. Be with us tonight as we're in your word. We praise you and we thank you that we can be in it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's take a copy of God's word. We are in Revelation chapter 21. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God. And we will read these verses here. All right. We got Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. You found that this evening, would you say amen? 21:1. All right. Those of you with us online, we're in Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, thank you all for standing tonight in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And we continue on as we seek to try to, it's been two services. We missed a Wednesday night with our graduation, which was a great time. If you were able to attend that, we had a great award ceremony for our school and graduated Sam. And Sam is off to the races, so praise the Lord for that. And then Sunday night, we were spending that with family for Memorial Day. So we seek to come back at this and try to pick it up, try to get a little review, and then as we all get back on the same page, we'll make another leap here and get a little bit further in the passage. But as we've been talking about, we said that the Bible makes it clear that believers are to, what? Are to focus on heaven, right? Something we ought to be focusing on. We said a genuine and strong longing for heaven has many important implications and benefits for the Christian. And we covered six. And real quickly, they are this. Such a longing is one that is one of the surest indicators of genuine salvation. Secondly, a genuine and strong longing for heaven also produces the highest and noblest Christian character. We said a strong longing for heaven also brings joy and comfort in the midst of our trials. We said a genuine and strong longing for heaven is also a preventative against sin. We talked about how a genuine and strong longing for heaven will also maintain the motivation, we said bigger, better word, motivation of believers' spiritual service. And then finally, a genuine and strong longing for heaven honors God above everything else. We asked the question, and we answered it. How many times is heaven referred to in the Scriptures? Anybody remember that? Scripture refers to heaven more than 500 times. And in Revelation alone, mentions heaven about 10% of that, about 50 times. Then we asked, and we kind of took you through the question, how many heavens are there? We said the Bible describes three heavens. Gave you the passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I know a man in Christ, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, of course. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. We kind of described these three heavens. We said the first heaven is earth's atmosphere, right? Not really a holy place, the earth's atmosphere, not a holy place. We said the second heaven is the interplanetary and interstellar space. We gave some verses, looked at some references, Genesis 15, Deuteronomy, Psalm, Isaiah. This third heaven is where it's at, though. This third heaven is the dwelling place of God. And this third heaven is going to come back up as we close out our Bible study tonight. The very dwelling place of God. One, two, three heavens. The main thing that any and all of us want to take away from this is that heaven is an actual place. A lot of people want to spiritualize heaven and make it some kind of, you know, we're just a soul and a spirit floating around with no body. That's not what the Bible teaches. Heaven is an actual place, not just a spiritual consciousness. You're going to have a glorified body in a real place called heaven. Now, we know this is true because the Bible teaches us that is true. It's evident because some have already gone there in glorified bodies. And these references that we've given, and I think we gave these last Bible study, you got to understand, if you're going into the presence of Almighty God, you don't have the body you got now. I mean, the inference is you've got a glorified body. Does that make sense? So Genesis 5:24 says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Amen. God took him on home. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 says, as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Don't you think his body was transformed in the midst of all the fire? Yeah, amen. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, after he had said these things, talking about Christ, he was lifted up while they were looking on. And we know, of course, Jesus, after his resurrection, was in his glorified body. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. We then got into, and this is where we're kind of going to make a transition into some new material. We got into what heaven and the new earth are going to be like. As chapter 21 opens up, we said all the sinners of all the ages, as well as Satan and his demons, they have been sentenced to where? Man, they are off the scene. They have been sentenced to the lake of fire. Per Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. We said, with all of the ungodly men and angels and women and ungodly lost people banished forever, the present universe destroyed, per Revelation 20, verse 11, God will create a new realm for the redeemed and the holy angels to dwell in forever. We said the new heaven and the new earth will not merely succeed the present universe in chronological sequence. They will be something brand new. They will be something fresh, never before seen, with one caveat. And I'll get to that caveat in a little bit. The first hint of what the new heaven and the new earth will be comes in John's observation that there will no longer be any sea. And we kind of got into that a little bit. We said that will be a startling change for the present earth, as nearly, I mean, you look at the planet today, there's a whole lot of water. Amen. Just saying, whole lot of water. 3/4, 70% is covered by water. And I guess if global warming or whatever kind of warming or whatever you want to call it, it continues to melt all the ice, there will be a little more covered before it's all said and done, right? So, now, the sea, we said, is representative of the present water-based environment. In that, all life on earth is dependent on water for its survival. We had to put down one of our puppies this week, one of our dogs, and took him into the vet. And old Keely was eat up with a cancer. She was 16 and a half. Jack Russell Rat Terrier. I can highly recommend that breed. So they call it a Jack Rat. If you want a high-energy dog, get you one. So anyway, I took the dog into the vet, and, you know, they telling me all the rope and the dope, you know, to put her down and everything. And they said, would you like to have the dog cremated, and would you like to receive some of the ashes back? I said, excuse me? Cremate my dog? I said, I said, Keely's earned a spot in the yard, man. He goes, okay. I go, do you release the body back? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll release the body back. They came in, and I had to sign all this paperwork. I was like, what am I signing? They said, well, Mr. Lee, we just have to inform you that when we euthanize your animal, that the drugs within the dog are active for 2 years. So if you tell us you're going to bury the dog and you don't bury the dog and something gets that dog and it dies, if something is a bald eagle, you're going to pay a $250,000 fine and go to jail for 2 years. And I said, what? They were telling me a vet here in the area was charging people to dispose of their animals, was euthanizing the animals, and then was not properly burying the animals, Brother John. And you know what happened? One of these eagles over here roosting behind Target swooped down and got it and ate it and ingested that chip and died from the propofol and the pentobarbital in the flesh, in the body of that animal. So now, when you go and have an animal what? Euthanized, and you want to take it home and bury it, you got to sign some paperwork. So anyway, I took my little dog home and asked the vet. I said, how deep? He said, at least 2 feet. I go, what do you mean? He goes, 2 feet of dirt on top of that dog. I go, okay, I can do that. Well, that was big work. That was easy to say. That was easy to say. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting to this. I dug that hole, and I did a good job, but I was literally, Ronnie Bakulik, I was literally dehydrated when I finished it. That's how hot it was yesterday. And I had water out there drinking. Every now and then I'd stop, and I'd take a little nip off this Yeti full of water, and I'm telling you, I probably finished 1.5 of those. I went in the house. I thought I was going to tap out. I was wrung. Have you ever been like that? Wrung out wet, right? But I wanted to do what? I wanted to get that dog and earn a spot in the yard. I wanted to get her in the yard and get her taken care of before the sun set. Amen? So, kind of a Jewish thing. That's right. Didn't want another eagle to come down. But the point I'm making is we've got to have what? Water. Yeah. I mean, you know it. I mean, you live it. You live here. You get out and walk here. If you're not out in the morning or in the evening, if you're out in the heat of the day from what, 10 to 2? 10 to 4, Ron? Buddy, you better... Huh? Yeah, man, you better have you some water because we are water-based, right? We're water-based. All life on earth is dependent. We talked about how our bodies are made up of so much water. I'm not going to give you all those statistics. Just two, our blood is 90% water and our flesh is 65% water. Thus, the new heaven and the new earth will be based on a completely different life principle than the present universe. There will be a river in heaven, but not of water. The Bible calls it water of life. What is that going to be? I have no idea, but I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Water of life. Without a sea, there can be no hydrological cycle. There won't be evaporation. There won't be cloud. There won't be rain. There won't be this. There won't be that. But there will be the water of life, and there will be a river run through it. Amen? It's going to be nice. Without a sea, there can be none of this, but there is going to be that water of life. Now we get into what I'm going to end with tonight, and that is the minority now. The minority now will be the majority then. What do you mean by that? The minority now will be the majority then. Let me take you through it. In 2016, these statistics are a little low. They haven't changed a whole lot. The Jerusalem city's population was 882,700, of which Jews comprised of the majority, 536,600, or, yeah, 61%. Muslims comprised 319,800, 36%. Christians comprised 15,800, 2%. Right? And then unclassified folks, unclassified subjects, the unreligious, the nuns, the uns, 10,300, 1%. The city today is claimed by both Jews and Palestinians, right? Jews and Muslims. Jerusalem, from the time of Jesus' second coming, for those 1,000 years, will be under his reign and control. And when the city is remade, all remnants of division and sin will be gone. Those that lived during that 1,000-year reign will be shocked, those safe folks, they will be shocked of the transformation of the new capital city of God, right? What I'm talking about is Christians are the minority now there. After that thousand-year reign, Christians won't be the minority any longer. We will be the majority. The majority. Doesn't that feel good? I mean, haven't you always wanted to be like China? I mean, there are so many Chinese folks. They got more people than anybody, right? Yeah. Do you remember when they hosted the Olympics? And they did that huge, spectacular thing with the drums? I was watching that. I was like, are you kidding me? That is incredible. How many people do they have out there? How many thousands of people? And I don't know. It might have been hundreds. But it seemed like this mammoth mass of people. They are the majority country if you want to talk about size, right? Well, friend, one day, Christians, the minority, will be the majority. Amen? Now, when we talk about remaking, when we talk about the earth and we talk about the heavens and we talk about all this remaking, we're talking about, you can kind of relate to this if you've been watching the news, what's going on in Uvalde, right? In that, there are talks and discussions of tearing the existing school building down. Let's just do away. Let's demolish that thing. Let's bulldoze it over. Let's pull it out of there. Let's get that steel and that concrete completely up and out. Let's re-architecture that thing. Have it a whole different total look. And let's put a brand new building in there for these little kids to come back to. Amen? So that they don't have the what? The trauma. They don't have the what? The memory. They don't have the what? Of all that's gone on and been said that's related to this massacre, right? Well, we kind of get into that a little bit with John's transition. Notice his transition. And I saw the holy city, verse 2. New Jerusalem, coming down, right? Coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. As the next stage, this is the next stage, verse 2. The next stage in his vision unfolds. The Apostle John, he moves from a description of the new heaven and the new earth in general to a description of the capital city of the eternal state. The new Jerusalem, don't get confused, is not heaven, but it's heaven's capital. It's in heaven, but it's not all of heaven, but it's heaven's capital. The city is not the extent or boundary of heaven. Rather, it is the capital of this so-called heaven. Amen? This city is described in verse 2. Is the third city named Jerusalem in redemptive history. Sometimes it takes three times to get it what? Get it right, man. Here we go, God. This city is described in verse 2, the third city named Jerusalem in redemptive history. The first is the historic Jerusalem, the city of David, which currently exists now in Palestine. Scripture repeatedly calls it the holy city. All over the Bible it's called that because it was set apart for God's purposes. The second Jerusalem will be the restored Jerusalem where Christ will rule during the millennial kingdom. The third or new Jerusalem does not belong to the first creation, so it is neither the historic city nor the millennial city. It is the altogether new eternal city. Amen? Now, at the recording of this vision, John, as John records it, historians tell us, he's recording this on the Isle of Patmos, he's in his 90s. At the recording of this vision by John, historians tell us that the old Jerusalem, the first Jerusalem, had been in ruins for some 25 years as he's recording these events on the Isle of Patmos. Even then, even way back then, at the end of the first century, even then, this city was too stained with sin as a part of the old creation to survive into the eternal state. The New Jerusalem is called the Holy City because everyone in it will be holy. Amen? Everyone in it is holy. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. That's me and you, friend. So what does the concept of a city imply? What does a concept of a in other words, how does a city function? Think about that. News brief. I get too many news briefs. This was world news. You know what they're doing in Sin City? What is Sin City? Y'all tell me the name of Sin City. Yeah. You know what they're doing in Nevada? You know what they're doing? They don't have enough water. Do you know what they voted to do? No more grass. You can't have grass. No more grass. You know what they're doing, Ronnie? If it's not functional grass, if we're not playing sports on it, if it's not some kind of green belt at the park where we can picnic on it, it's coming up. These landscape companies are making money hand over fist. They've got these turf cutters. They're rolling this stuff up. They're putting it in the truck, and I don't know what they're doing with it, right? What do you mean? What? You go downtown, you look at the strip, right? What is it? The De Blasio with the fountain? Boom, shooting water up in the air. They can have that water, right? But if you're in a residential subdivision, you get no yard, right? They are the, we would call Las Vegas the city of excess. But when it comes to water, they're one of the most conservative cities in the world. In the world. Every drop of water that goes down the drain, from the hotel to the high school to the house, they clean it and they put it back in service. Every drop of water. Every drop of water. I'm trying to tell you this. When we think about a city, when we think about how a city functions, when we think about the concept of a city, it includes what? Relationships. It includes what? People working together. It includes what? Activity. It includes what? Responsibility. It includes what? Unity. It includes what? Socialization. It includes what? Communion. It includes what? Cooperation. Amen? Cooperation. They have 14... How would you like this job? 14 water waste cops. They catch you running water down the street. You get the Barney 5 ticket, right? Remember Barney 5 ticket? you're getting a ticket. You run water down the street. Amen. 14 water cops to cover that city. What's going on, man? There's a city of God coming. Unlike the evil cities of the present earth that can do some good things when it comes to water conservation, unlike the evil cities of the present earth, the perfectly holy people in the New Jerusalem will live and will work together in perfect harmony, brother. Perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. In this vision, John saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I'm going to end with this. It's kind of a mind bender, but don't let it be a mind bender too much. Don't let what I'm about to tell you bend your mind too much. John says in the vision, it's coming down out of heaven, right? Is that what it says in your Bible? Coming down out of heaven? There is a new heaven, meaning a new creation and a new earth, not tainted by sin ever. Now, let me tell you how people a whole lot smarter than me try to figure this out. Some conservative scholars believe that the New Jerusalem, and I tend to agree with them because I'm conservative, the New Jerusalem already exists. It already exists. John saw it. He saw it coming out. Well, Pastor, it's a vision. Yeah, I'm telling you. I think God's already made it. Some scholars believe the New Jerusalem already exists as what? It is that third heaven referred to by John in 2 Corinthians. Don't let me bend your mind, all right? Yeah, that's easy to kind of connect the dots on that. Amen? There's three heavens. This third heaven is the new Jerusalem at the present time, if we can even think that way, thinking about eternity. Scholars believe this because this would be the only place that sin has not affected. Amen? So, God cannot be what? He cannot be around sin. He cannot be around sinners. So, let's figure this out. The thinking is this way, or the thinking goes this way. When you die, absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And where is Christ? The right hand of the Father. And what is He doing? Making intercession on behalf of me and you. Amen? So He's right there in the throne room. So absent from the body is to be present right there in that new Jerusalem. In other words, this new Jerusalem waiting to descend is already built by the great God and architect Himself. Which makes sense if you think about it the way a Jewish young man would think about it. Before he went to go get his bride, the house is already done. Right? The house is already done. So if you think about it that way, it kind of gels. And that's not a hill to die on, but I'm just telling you what conservative scholars think and believe. All right? Now, when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem will descend into the midst of that holy new universe per 2110. And it will serve as the dwelling place of the redeemed, me and you, for all eternity. So since the throne of God will be in the new Jerusalem, which will come down to the new earth, that city will be the bond between the new earth and the new heaven. The new earth and the new heaven. Remember, there's a new what? There's a new earth. And remember, there's a new heaven, right? And what is the capital city of that new heaven? New Jerusalem. Amen, amen? All right, we'll leave it there. I'll try to review it. If you're confused, don't be, right? We'll figure it out. Amen, Ron, you still with me? Okay. All right. Let's close it out. It's 8 o'clock. Our Heavenly Father, those with us online, good to have you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we threw out some deep things tonight at the end. But Lord, we pray that as we rest on these and ponder on these, God, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, you would begin to make these things clear to us. And Lord, you would help us to reason about them and think about them. And Lord, that just kind of goes into us thinking about heaven anyway, which is a good thing for us to be pondering these things. Lord, we don't want to get burdened down with it, but Lord, we want to think about it in a positive light, that it's going to be glorious, amazing, and we're all going to be there. So God, we praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you for how your Bible reveals these things to us. And Lord, as we continue to be faithful to study it, Lord, we're thankful that you're faithful to continue to reveal it. So by your Holy Spirit, God, just lead us and guide us as we continue on. It's in your name we pray. God's people say it. Amen. All right. Very good, very good.